So go ahead and turn your Bibles. Not as many notes this morning, but more scripture and story to where I need you to see the moments pop in the Word. And so this morning I am going to ask you to flip a handful of times. And so there are many times on Sunday morning where I might say, hey guys, you know, open your Bibles to Psalms 1 and just camp out there. Just be ready with your highlighters. Well, this morning there's going to be a little work to do. So not as many notes, but more pages to flip. And so go ahead and turn your Bibles to Mark 4. We're going to point to this and reference to this many times, so put a tassel there. I will try my best to slow down my voice and speed to give us moments to get to where we're going, because I need you to see all of it. But this morning is God taking away the fear and replacing it with faith. So go ahead and turn your Bibles. God's Word is so much better than mine. And so turn your Bibles to Mark 4. Turn your Bibles to Mark 4. I love the heading. Sometimes I forget to read the heading. And so I love how Scripture heads this story up. It says, "The wind and the waves obey Jesus." So turn to Mark 4, verse 35. God's Word says, "On that same day, when evening had come, He said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.'" So this is a moment in the midst of Jesus' ministry. He's talking to His disciples, and He says, "Let us cross over to the other side." "And now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in a boat as He was. And all the other little boats were with Him as well. And a great wind," we highlight 37, "and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat onto the boat so that it was already filling. But He was in the stern asleep," being Jesus. "He was in the stern asleep on the pillow, and they awoke Him, and they said to Him," highlighted church, "'Teacher, do You not care that we are perishing?' Then He arose and He rebuked the wind." Can you imagine seeing such a thing? "He rebuked the wind and He said to the sea, 'Peace be still.'" And guess what happened, church? The wind ceased and there was great calm or peace to the water. "And He said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" I'm going to read it again. Will you highlight it? "But He said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?'" And last verse, "And they feared exceedingly, and they said to one another, 'Who can this be?'" That's the question this morning. "Who can this be that even the wind and the waves obey Him?" Will you bow your head and pray for our time together? God, we thank You for today. I am so filled already by the music, by the worship. I am so encouraged as a pastor at some of the new faces that I was able to meet this morning, the hands that I was able to extend, the faces that are new to the church. I'm already excited about what You are doing here at this church. As we have families in the overflow room, just to make room for new faces, You brought them to us. And that is not something that we take lightly. We are grateful. We are grateful and we are thankful for the people that You have given us. So Lord, in our time together, as we pray every week, in this busy thing that we call life, in the stresses and the burdens and the distractions, the quicksands of sin, Lord, we pray that You remove them. And in the midst of our busyness, Lord, I pray that as You remove distractions and sin from our life, we get to feast our eyes on the good news of the gospel, Your provisions, Your grace, that we're able to grow closer to You, closer to holiness and sanctification, more like Your Son. So Lord, as we pray, we thank You for You. We thank You for Your Son. We thank You for Your church. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your church. Lord, we thank You for this time. In Your precious name, in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, the church says in harmony, amen. Hey, sometimes when I'm praying, I literally have no idea where I'm going to end up when I open my eyes up. So I was almost in a whole different direction. Turn your Bibles to 4:35. It says in 37, I told you to highlight, and a great windstorm arose and the waves beat unto the boat so that it was already filling. I don't know about you. Maybe some of you don't live in Carroll County. I know a few people are off. But if you live in Carroll County, or maybe depending on where you reside, you heard the storms. You might have even felt them on Thursday night. And I know that we needed the rain, but guys, I tell you, that was maybe, and maybe it's because I was off and on and sleep and not thinking correctly, and I had kids' feet up in my face. Maybe it was that. But like, that was some of the loudest thunderstorms maybe I had ever heard. And amen, amen. Y'all remember. And so maybe it wasn't just so loud. Maybe it was just the repetition of it. Like, it sounded to me like we were under attack. I don't know about where you live, but like, my family was like suiting up for battle, right? And so I don't know your story. I got four kids. And my oldest didn't wake up, but man, my young ones did. And so I got four, and two of mine who are basically twin little girls, like, they woke up like every 5 minutes thinking that we were at war. And so for me, and some of you guys are in this now, some of you guys will be in this one day, and some of you guys just laugh at the memory of those experiences. It wasn't a great night's sleep for Dad. And so I found myself in like six different beds, and we only have four of them, right? And so, like, I went to sleep in my bed, and then Lennon came, and then I tried to take Lennon back to her bed, and then Lila came and got three people in a twin bed is not comfortable. So I take all of them, and I try to get back in my bed, and you know how that works. They're kicking Mama and kicking Dad. And so I go, okay, guys, like, get your pillow, and let's go downstairs and go to the couch. And guys, like, if a king-size bed's not going to fit us, a couch is not going to be very good either. And so, like, basically from like midnight to like 5, I was up, which seemed to be like every 5 to 30 minutes, like hanging on for dear life. Like, half my back was on, half my back wasn't on. They were waking up screaming, crying. I was trying to comfort them. Like, we were in the midst of a terrifying moment for a bunch of 6-year-olds, right? Rightfully so. Rightfully so. Sometimes I think we forget that 6-year-olds don't understand the things that adults understand. And so, you know, I had access to a radar. And even though I can barely understand it, I can read enough to where I can look at it and say, okay, not only do I see where the storm is, I know that it's not a tornado. And not only do I know that it's not a tornado, I know what's going to happen the next hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. Like, we are okay. Lila, it is just loud noise. But to a 6-year-old, she does not understand radars. She does not understand that I can see what's going to take place in an hour. She doesn't see that it's just thunder. She can't tell you the difference between thunder and lightning, earthquakes and tornadoes. She does not know. All that she knows is that this is loud, terrifying, and our windows are shaking, right? She does not understand that I have been through storms before, right? For her, little Lila and Lennon, this feels like the end. As David said, you know, I used to look at the book of Revelation, and when I looked from it from afar, not really understanding it, it terrified me, right? That is what she felt. She felt Jesus was coming back. And she didn't know if it was good news or bad. So I laid on my couch. Most of my night was downstairs on that. And I laid on my couch, and I actually had a different idea of a message, which maybe I'll preach in a few weeks, but I found myself around 2 a.m. with, you know, one kid going that way and another kid going that way, and I'm hanging on with no pillow, just trying to survive their fear. And I thought about this moment in Scripture. I thought about this moment in Scripture at 2 a.m., having no idea exactly what the message would be. And it brings us to verse 37, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat onto the boat. It was already filling with water, right? Guys, you see, in that moment in the Scriptures, Jesus not only had access to the radar, he controlled it. You see that? And so even though I can see what's going to happen in an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you and I might laugh and roll our eyes and going, hey, Hunter, even that radar that you look at is not accurate. It's a 50-50 shot. It might snow in an hour, right? Who knows? Well, hey, Jesus not only understood that the wind and the waves were coming and what it would look like from an hour, he controlled the winds and the rain that came, right? Guys, but like Lila and Lennon, the disciples could not comprehend this. If anything, like Jesus' confidence and faith and understanding and sovereignty, if anything, that did not bring comfort. Hear me, church. It almost looked like ignorance. Like they didn't look at Jesus and go, well, if Jesus is sleeping, everything's going to be okay. They looked at Jesus and go, maybe this guy is not the guy that we thought that he was. Wake up. Have you ever been there? Dad, the house is shaking. Why are you telling me to go back to bed? Man can't comprehend these things. And so for man, there's usually one or two, and all of you fit in one category. We should all stand up and go to what category you are in, right? There's one or two categories in the midst of storms. There's people that go outside, and there's people that go to their basement, right? One or two people. And I'm not saying that one is bad and one is the other. I don't know who you are. Like, there's moments where I just go outside with a cup of coffee and like the tornado could be in my neighbor's yard. And I look at my family and go, well, hey, listen, like the probability of us, it hitting us is very, very small. Why are y'all spazzing out over this? And for some of you guys, even before it rains, Benton County, y'all are like shutting it down, right? That's not even on my notes. It just came quick, right? Y'all just shut it down. And so listen to me, though. There is moments, guys, where I'm outside just kind of looking at the clouds and my family's in the bathtub and my kids are going, Dad, what are you doing? And listen to me, church. It doesn't bring them calmness. It honestly kind of allows them to lose faith in me. Because they look at me and go, hey, maybe this guy is not as smart as I thought that he was. Like, maybe this guy does not have it all together. That is Mark 4. Like, Jesus is sleeping when the waves are crashing in. He knows the radar. He understands the radar. He controls the radar. But man, the disciples don't understand or comprehend any of that. They look at Jesus and somewhat they lose confidence in Him. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in the middle of where you started and where you are going? You can't even see land. You are in the middle. I've read it three times, but hopefully the fourth one sinks in. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Guys, this wasn't just a storm. They were actually taking in water. Like, this wasn't just a thunderstorm. It was actually dripping from the roof. So as you look at your bride and your family and go, guys, calm down. It's okay. Your family looks and goes, man, we are taking in water. And what did the disciples say? Teacher, do you not care? Will you write that down? Teacher, do you not care? Do you not care what? That we are perishing. Have you ever been there? Because if you have not been there, you will be there. And if you have been there, you will visit it again. And if you visit it before and you're not in it now, please understand that someone around you is. So every moment that someone is not suffering, please understand me, someone in your inner circle probably is. And so when we stand up in church and go, man, praise God for how God is so good to us. Someone hears those words and says, man, it does not seem that God is being good to us. Every time a baby is born, someone in that same hospital is dying. Every time someone gets good news from a doctor, someone is getting bad. Teacher, why do you not care? Have you ever been there? Have you ever been there? You know, I'm in my early 40s, and this is Corn's birthday. It has nothing to do with me being in my early 40s. I just wanted you guys to know. today's Corin's birthday, and me and Michael Berg were just talking about this, and they said, it sounds like a sermon. And I said, it's the sermon today, brother. Get ready. I'll fit it in. Today's his birthday, and Michael made a joke. He goes, man, when you start inching towards 40, that check engine light starts coming on, right? And like, you take it to get worked on, and it's still just kind of a car that's slowly breaking down. Can any of you relate? And one thing that I've noticed about storms and heartaches, like in my life, this is something that I've experienced as a man and pastor and then counseling you and walking with you. There is something that I have seen. It doesn't apply to everybody. It doesn't apply to everybody. Some of your guys, your car broke down at age 7 and 8, and I hate that for you. But for so many people, Michael is 100% right. When you get to your early, your mid-30s, 40s, there's a lot of wisdom in what he says and what we've experienced. That check engine light does come on. Like when you get out of your 20s and you're in that early stage of getting over a young adult, like when you are there, something in life just starts to break down, right? It's not sunny sunsets and rainbows every day, right? You start to see some of the nastiness of this world, and it's not just stories that you've heard from other people, it's things that you're experiencing yourself. And you start to experience some of the hardships of life, and you might experience them in many different ways. For some of you guys, it's just something in your everyday life that you really banked on happening just stops and does not happen the way that you thought it would happen. And so for some of you guys, you're in your early 30s and you're in your mid 30s and you lived in your 20s and you go, this is going to be my job and I'm going to go to school or I'm going to get a trade and I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that and it's going to end up here and there. And you find yourself somewhere in your 30s and you look at your life and your job is not the way that you thought it would be. Your money's not as secure as you thought it would be. You don't love this. You're not happy with this. You're not satisfied. And you ask yourself the question, how did I get here? Right? It's just something in your 20s that you said, I bank on this happening. It just doesn't seem to happen. And you feel the water coming in. For some of you, it might have been your marriage. And everybody walks down that aisle really, really excited and happy. But there's this moment where you might be 5, 7, 10 years into marriage and you go, this is not what I thought I say. What I was going to say, I do too. It doesn't seem like we're happy. It doesn't seem like intimacy is great. It doesn't seem like you're my best friend and I'm yours. The family is not happening. I thought we would have kids and we don't. Money is stressful. Whatever it is. Just something that you thought would happen is not happening. And it shakes you. For some, it's not life, it's death. And so when you're, like I said, it's not for everybody. Some of you guys are 7, 10 years old and you had to bury loved ones. And I hate that for you. But for some of you guys, when you bury that first parent and you're 30, you're 40 years old and that dad who was always with you. And like that guy who threw ball with you and tucked you in. And that guy who took you on every vacation and he always had little smart little lectures to always talk to you about why not wearing a hat in a restaurant was important and all of those things. He was always there. And when you're standing at a funeral bearing your mama, it crushes you. Why? Because you've never experienced it before. Like you don't understand the radars that God is holding. You don't understand the future or the past. All you know is you're treading water now, right? Or maybe it's not just you banking on something and not working out according to plan. Sometimes it's not death. Sometimes it's the health scares. I see this in so many people. It's that check engine light that Michael was talking about. You know, I buried my whole family, but I think the thing that hit me the most and the hardest was just that, you know, I'm not untouchable. And so when you're younger, even when you're in your 20s, when you go to the doctor, it's, you know, I broke something, I sprained something, I had the flu. But it's a whole other category when the doctor says, I found something on you. And you're just not used to that. And you're not used to having blood pressure issues and heart issues and scans done on you and them finding spots on your lungs or your kidneys, like that is not something that you're used to. And when you're early in life and you're not a little kid, but you're not an old adult, and the doctor says there might be something wrong, we need to send you for more testing, man, that shakes you. And here's the truth, guys. In the midst of that check engine light coming on, when that happens for most people, that's when it happened to me. When it happened to most people, you're probably about the age of the disciples. You're about the same age of these men when you start to experience the waves, when you start to take in water, when the house starts to shake, and you wonder, God, do you care? Like, God, do you care? Because if you cared, I would not be sick. If you cared, my marriage would be better. If you cared, I would not be stressed out. If you cared, I would be married. If you cared, I would have kids. If you cared, I would have the job. But none of this seems to work. Have you ever been there? Because, man, if you haven't, you will be. At some point in life, like the storms and the waves and the wind, they come for all of us. And I started to put this together, and I want you to flip. I'll slow down my speech. I started to read this, and I thought, man, this brings back something that's heavy on my heart already. Go to Psalms 44. Do you remember this message? You go, hey, Hunter, I barely remember the message from a week ago. This was over a month. Do you remember this? Man, I can't move past this one. This one's heavy on me. Like, I think about it a lot. And if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. But the sons of Korah, the sons of these people that experienced the storms from through their fathers, but not themselves. Like, they're in the boat for the first time. They're in the middle. They're not where they started, but they're not where they hope to end. They're somewhere in the midst of everything. The water is coming in. And what do they say in verse 33, church? Hang on it. What do they say? They say, awake. Hey, awake. Same exact message. Awake. Why do you sleep, O Lord? Why do you sleep? Arise, Jesus, get out from under the boat. Do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our body clings to the ground. Arise for our help and redeem us for your mercy's sake. Guys, what we see in this truth is that struggles and storms and waves came for the people in Genesis, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and also your Testament. The thing that they experienced back then is what they experienced when Jesus walked the earth. It's what they experienced in the New Testament when they were forming the church and the Holy Spirit was given, in the same way that you experience it in the culture of 2023. It says a great windstorm arose. A great windstorm arose. And so what we see in Psalms 44, guys, not just about how man responds to struggle, is that no one is exempt from them. Even those who ride on the boat that Christ does. That no one is exempt from them. No matter who you are, how much you give, what your last name is, how important you might think that you are, or how many good deeds that you might do, storms come for each and every house. Let's slow it down. Go to Matthew 7. We usually don't flip this much, but I told you, less notes, more flipping. I want you to see it. Go to Matthew 7, please. Especially for every young couple, everyone is trying to drive that new car and your check engine light isn't on yet. I need you to see these verses. Look at Matthew 7, please. Every time I counsel someone, every premarital counseling that I do for marriage, every time that I counsel someone in the struggling marriage, every young person, every older person, no matter who you are, if I am sitting with you in counsel, at some point I'm reading you Matthew 7. At some point. Look at verse 24. This is something that a lot of you guys know. This is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and this is how He concludes the greatest message ever preached. So listen to 24 through 27. He says, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine," the sermon that I just preached, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock." Amen. "And the rain descended," church, guess what? "And the floods came," church, guess what? "And the winds blew," church, "and it beat on that house." But here's the good news. It did not fall, for it was founded on the rock, being Jesus. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on that house and it fell. And great was its fall." So this is the message that I usually tell people no matter what you're going through. If the light is on or the light is not on yet, at some point it will be. One house was built on the rock. One house was built on the sand. One house fell. One house stood. But do not miss the point that the rain came for both of them. The rain came for both of them. If I want you to hear something, please hear this. Your belief that God exists does not guarantee you good weather. Your belief that there is a heaven and a hell and that God's Word is the truth and even that you are saved and you are secured in it, your belief in God does not guarantee good weather, but your faith does dictate how you respond to the good and bad weather that is promised. You hear me? It guarantees it and it determines it. Guys, storms come for a lot of reasons. Storms come because of consequences. Like some of us will go through many, 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 many trials because you invite them into your life. It's called sin. For so many of us, when we don't put God first and we do things against what God's Word says, it's like we know that there is a storm an hour from now and we wake up our family and go, "Wendy, kids, get in the car. We got a 60-minute drive." Like for some of the hard things that you're going through, it's because you created them in your life. For some of us, we will experience storms because God is sanctifying you to be more like His Son in them. He's growing you. He's strengthening you. He's showing you how to be more dependent. Some of the storms that you go through is just the reality that we live in a broken, fallen world. And that you and I are desperately in need of Jesus. This is not heaven. And then for so many of us, we go through storms for all three of those reasons simultaneously. It's because of the sin that we have in our life, and God is correcting those things. He's rebuking that sin, but He's using even the sin in our life to grow us in the platform of His canvas of a sinful world. All three of those things, it's guaranteed that it is going to rain at some point in your life. Your faith dictates how you respond to it. And so let me ask you, church, like, are you founded on the rock? Are you founded on the rock? Like when it rains on your house, are you uneasy? Are you secure that you are built on a foundation that it can thunderstorm and it can lightning? You can bring as many waves as you want. But me and my family, we're holding strong. Do you feel confident in that? Like, do you know that your roof isn't letting in water? Do you know that? Secondly, are you knowledgeable and aware that rain is coming? Because this is what I plead with my young people. Like when the rain comes, don't act confused. Like don't look at one another and go, "What is happening?" It's promised. There will be a day where you're in the middle of the waters and it's promised that you're not going to be able to see land. Are you knowledgeable about Scripture in that way? And then also, is your faith ready for it? Is your faith ready for those moments? Go back to Mark. I told you to put a tassel there. Go back to Mark. Is your faith ready for it? Mark 4. It says in verse 39, and when Jesus arose, he rebuked the wind. He rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Hey, dads, wouldn't you love to do that for your kids? Like, I'm thinking about Lila and Lennon and London being on that couch and they're scared to death. The house is shaking. Wouldn't that have been awesome to go, "Hey, guys, it's okay. Hey, cut it out." And then the whole place got silent. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? I can't do any of those things. He says, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was great calm. Here's the conviction. Here's the conviction and the good news. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" In other words, how is it that I can be with you and you're so scared? How is it that you can profess that I am Lord? How is it that you are following me? How is it that you know my word? How is it that you are in church every single Sunday? But somehow or another, when the wind and the waves hit your boat, how is it that you have no faith? How is it that you can believe in heaven, but you're still scared to death of storms? How is that possible? And here's the reason why. Here's the deepness of the situation that you don't really see on the paper, but is actually happening in their lives and ours. These men are not scared of the weather. These men are not scared of the weather. You and I do not fear cancer. You and I are not frustrated at the ways. We do not fear death. There is something at a deeper level and at play that these men were going through. What did these men really fear? Because it's not the weather, because the disciples didn't wake up Jesus and go, "Hey, Jesus, like, you got to come look at this." They didn't say that, right? The men didn't say, "Hey, Jesus, you're another two sets of hands. We got to get out here and get this water off the boat." What did the men say? "Teacher, do you not care?" Guys, you see, all of our worry, all of our doubt, all of our fears, believers, it's not related to certain issues. All of our fear is all connected to our doubt that God is good. I don't fear hardships. I fear that God is good enough to provide in the midst of them. Because, guys, I'm smart enough to know that how this thing ends. Would none of us get out of here alive? I know that this doesn't end with me being zipped up to heaven at age 99 after I've spent retirement in Hawaii. Like, I understand that hardships are coming. I believe in heaven. I believe in the Spirit. I believe in His Word. So why am I so fearful? Well, I fear because I don't know if God is good. And I fear and I doubt because I truly might not believe that the Lord is going to take care of me in the midst of it. Guys, that's what the enemy is after. Please hang with me. The enemy is not after your house. He's after your faith. Why does it rain on the house that's built on the rock? Think about it for a minute. Huddle back in. Why does it rain on the house that's built on the rock? The devil knows that he can't crush it. So why does it rain on it? Well, if I can't take your home, I can take a good night's sleep. The enemy is not after your salvation because he can't take it, but he can distract your faith. And if he can take a Christian who loves the Lord and create resentment and frustration and a lack of hope and a lack of joy, if he can create a sense of faith that doubts God's goodness, remember what we talked about months ago, the enemy is not trying to take you to hell. He's just trying to grab ankles. He's just trying to grab ankles. That is what the enemy is after. we will all experience storms, church. The waves that beat on the boat against the side will happen. But it says, do not lose faith. Faith in what? That it might stop raining? No, faith that God is good and that God will provide. You don't have to flip. I just want you to hear this one. In Luke 22, well, you might be able to get there before I do. I had too many tassels. In Luke 22, Jesus said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you. What did Jesus pray? That I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned in me, strengthen your brothers. He did not say, I pray for you to overcome, for it not to rain on you. We are all going to fall. We are all sinners. We all fall short. It's going to rain on all of us. He says, I pray that your faith does not fail. Now, this is as we close. This is the good news. I told you, not as many notes, but more pages to flip. Last time I have you flip, and this is how we end in the hope of the gospel that he shared with his disciples in the boat that still ring true to you and I today. I want you to see it for yourself. Go to Luke 11. A beautiful story that should bring all of us hope in the reality of the hardships that we're going to face. Go to Luke 11, starting with one. Well, you know what? I'm sorry. John 11. I had it wrong in my notes. John 11. I know this is a lot of work for you guys today. You're doing great. Not only is he having me flip, he's giving me the wrong books. It's like Bible drill. Go to John 11. I love this story. This is how we close. Here is the hope that God gives us through his Son in the midst of storms. Look at verse 1. John 11, it says this. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus from Bethany, in the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sisters sent him to him, saying, Lord, behold, him who you love, being Lazarus, is sick. When Jesus has heard this, he wasn't with them. When he heard this, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. There's a reason for it. That the Son of God may be glorified through it, church. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days in the place where he was. Then after, he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. Now, fast forward, please. Go to verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So Lazarus is already dead. And now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. It was a funeral. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus when she found him out walking towards the home, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Will you highlight that? It's the same message as the sons of Korah. It's the same message that we see with the disciples in the boat. Said, Jesus, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And what does Jesus say? Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." You know what's happening there, church? It's this moment that Jesus is walking up. The time has already passed. The boat has already gone under. Their brother had died. He showed up late. He's walking to the funeral. He's already late for the funeral. The women look at Jesus and says, "If you had only been here." And Jesus gives them this answer that, hey, it's all going to be okay. And you have this moment where they look at him and go, "Man, don't give me this Sunday school answer. That it's all going to work out. That there's a heaven, that it's okay, that we all struggle, that you're in control." Like, there's this moment where she don't want to hear it. Have you ever felt that? Have you ever been struggling and someone who's not struggling told you to turn your frown upside down? It's all going to be good. God is in control, and it almost makes you angry. That's the moment. Martha said, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day, but it's not good enough, right?" And Jesus said to her, "No, listen to me. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and I am the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" So, church, listen to me. There is a moment on my couch where I look at my 6-year-old and she wakes up every 5 to 10 minutes with this boisterous thunder shaking the windows of my house. She cannot understand that I have a radar. She does not understand that I have access to even the future weather that is coming. She does not understand my plans of safety. She doesn't understand even how I want her to respond in it. But the one thing that she can understand and take hope in is that her father has her best interest at heart. And she can understand, no matter how loud it gets, she can trust her father. And that the goal and the desire is not for you and I to fully understand why the waves hit us. It is not to fully even to recognize what will happen and what God is going to do in the midst of all of it. The desire is for you to trust and have faith that your Father has a plan for even the waves to be for His glory. And guess what, church? You're good. So in the midst of your sickness, there's good going to come from it. In the midst of your mid-30s, when that check engine light comes on, there's going to be something good in it. And it's not going to be just simply for your good. It's going to be for His glory. God is going to use it. So He's going to provide. And so please do not lie to yourself. The fear is not of this life. The fear is that God will not provide in the midst of it. And so as we close, this is what I want to encourage you on. The faith, for you guys that are believers, the faith that saved you. The faith that saved you. Have the same faith that God is going to provide now that you are saved. If your boat is taking in water now, Jesus is still in control. Man, if today is sunshines and rainbows for you, God is still in control. If it is raining and it is thundering, God is still in control. If you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 90s, God is still in control. And His plan is good. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank You for today. Lord, we thank You for Your provisions. Lord, we know that this life, we live in a world that is corrupt and broken and is polluted with sin. We live in a perverse generation, Your word tells us, but we also know that we're a part of it. We're in the midst of it. We don't just live in it, but we're also a part of it, Lord. But You still choose to love us. You still choose to show us grace and mercy in the midst of it. And so, Lord, I pray for our people here that are believers in You, for You, for us to have faith in Your provisions. No matter what is happening in our people's lives, If our boats are halfway down under, if our windows are shaking, let us look at one another and take comfort that our Father knows tomorrow. And our Father just doesn't know tomorrow, but He controls tomorrow. He controls the sickness. He controls the destruction. He controls it all. And we should take comfort in that. That everything is going to be okay. Why? Because God is in control. Through His sovereign love and grace that was demonstrated through His Son on the cross, through how He loves us and shows us grace and mercy today, you and I, no matter what the weather looks like, let your people be faithful. Do not let the enemy distract and ruin our good night's sleep in faith with loud noises. Lastly, for our people, let us encourage those who are hurting. For our people that are losing faith, that are easily distracted, that are up all night with storms, let the people of God filled with hope point people to the gospel and the good news, and the only thing that you and I can gain hope from, and that is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let us be faithful with the evangelism of that message. Lord, thank You for the new faces and Your good word this morning. In Your precious name, amen.